Hello, I'm Kenny Walter, editor of HCP Live. Welcome to Doc Talk. Currently, the leading cause of blindness in the U.S. is wet age macular degeneration, or wet AMD. With the population aging across the board, it is essential to diagnose and treat this disorder as early as possible to reduce vision loss and potentially recover vision in some patients. While it is unknown what causes wet AMD, it is known that it begins as dry macular degeneration. There are also a number of known risk factors for the disease, including age, family history, smoking, and obesity. Currently, there are over 11 million Americans in the U.S. with some form of wet AMD, and over 3 million in the U.S. with advanced wet AMD. This condition is more pronounced in the older population as well. So today I'm joined by Dr. Joshua Malley to talk about some exciting news in ophthalmology. Dr. Malley is a board-certified ophthalmologist at the Eye Associates in Bradenton, Florida. Dr. Malley and I discussed the potential to start screening and treating patients early and how it would really put a dent in the negative outcomes related to wet AMD. Dr. Malley said wet AMD is currently the most common disorder seen in his practice. Dr. Malley also said it is possible to diagnose patients with wet AMD as early as 50 years old. However, within the last 15 years, there has been a lot of progress made in regard to treatments with the advent of anti-VEGF medications, which first came around in 2006. Malley described the results of these injections as amazing, helping to treat wet AMD patients better than ever before and preserve vision as long as possible. I guess, Dr. Malley, my first question would be, what is the biggest gap in treatment for neovascular age-related macular degeneration currently, and how do you expect to close that gap in the next couple of years?
Well, what we know is that neovascular AMD, or wet AMD, is a significant problem in our country and the world. So in the United States alone, there's over 11 million Americans with some form of AMD. In particular, there's over 3 million Americans alone that have advanced wet AMD. So certainly it affects millions and millions of people. So big problem, especially in patients at age 60 or greater. They certainly have, it's a disease that particularly affects them the most. And so, you know, we have a big gap in regards to actual being able to save these patients' visions for as long as possible. So certainly we do have a lot of great medications that are now available to help do that.
Okay, you spoke about something I wanted to hit on. A lot has been made about, say, Alzheimer's and the future because the baby boomers are entering senior citizen age. With this impacting people 60 and above, how important is it to get a handle on this, trying to treat it as early as possible so we don't have a problem as our population continues to age?
Yeah, certainly with the baby boomer generation, we're seeing a lot more of this disease. And one of the biggest risk factors in this disease is age. So advancing age is certainly a risk factor. There are other things to consider, such as genetics, as well as a smoking history, which we know is also very important. But certainly with the baby boomer generation, we're seeing a lot more patients with wet AMD. And particularly in my area in Southwest Florida, we're seeing a really, really, this is the most common diagnosis that I see in my practice. So certainly it's a condition that I'm fighting for my patients to save as much vision as possible, because this is just a growing condition that's growing in epidemic proportions in our country.
Okay. Now, at what age can we start to kind of diagnose this as early as possible? When can you start to see problems kind of beginning to form that you could maybe treat and try to prevent some of the worse outcomes?
So generally speaking, we diagnose patients with AMD typically over the age of 50. And again, when we diagnose patients, they can be different stages of disease. So we're hoping to find it as early as possible. Certainly, especially with wet AMD, where you get bleeding under the retina. And that's really important to find out as early as possible because our treatments are much more effective and work better when we find disease at an earlier course. Now, certainly, any stage of AMD can present with symptoms. But more commonly, patients will come in with significant distortion or loss of vision with more advanced forms of AMD, and especially the wet form of AMD.
Now, how is our current stable of treatments for wet AMD? Is there enough, or do we really need new research and new drug development to treat these patients?
So nowadays we're really, really blessed and lucky. I mean, I love being a retina specialist at this time because we have a lot of great treatments that are available for our patients. Before 2006, we actually really didn't have a great treatment for this condition. You know, patients used to go legally blind from wet AMD. We had a laser treatment called photodynamic therapy, which, you know, wasn't that effective. And we would still see patients lose vision over time. But with the advent of what we call anti-VEGF medications, in particular in 2006, with the FDA approval of Lucentis, we've been able to treat wet AMD with these anti-VEGF medications that have shown just amazing results with these eye injection treatments. We also had FDA approval of Eylea in 2011, as well as most recently, in late last year, we had the approval of Beovu, which is now a new treatment, a new anti-VEGF treatment for wet AMD. So with these intravitreal injections, or eye injections, we're really able to save a lot of vision in our patients and really, really improve our patients' lives so that they can live to the fullest extent possible. And certainly, these medications have been really miracle drugs to help to preserve vision for as long as possible and gain vision in a lot of patients.
Now, the anti-VEGF treatments, there are some problems with that, correct? That it's not effective for everyone, or there's some kind of side effects that negatively impact certain patients. Is that correct?
Well, you know, there's always, you know, risk with any treatments that we do in medicine. However, anti-VEGF injections are actually pretty pretty safe. We're finding actually there's a lot of evidence to say that it's a very safe procedure to do. The intravitreal injection has very, very low risks. And again, these medications that are localized to the eye are pretty effective at just affecting the eye and don't really have any conclusive evidence that it affects the body at all in any way. So certainly we have a lot of these medications that are very, very effective and very, very safe. And that's really important because we have a lot of patients that we need to treat and save vision.
Now, talking about some current events, I would think ophthalmology appointments, when everything started getting shut down, non-emergency appointments in ophthalmology may have gotten put on the back burner for a lot of people this spring. Do you believe we might have a short-term screening problem where some people are starting to develop some of these disorders and maybe didn't get the screening this spring that they otherwise would have?
Certainly, you know, COVID-19 has had, a really big impact on ophthalmology and frankly all of medicine. But in particular, AMD patients have been severely infected. And what I mean by that is, you know, patients with dry AMD really need to be monitored very closely for development of wet AMD. And, you know, again, sometimes patients have symptoms when they develop early wet AMD, where they get loss of vision or distortion in their vision. However, some patients can be asymptomatic and have really only minor symptoms that don't get caught unless they're seen in a retina specialist's office. So certainly COVID-19 has had a big impact on that. And we're finding that patients may not be coming in as frequently as they should be because of that. I would say right now that has improved significantly. Patients now are coming in for appointments and we're able to screen patients better, diagnose things earlier, and get the treatment that they need. But certainly COVID-19 has an impact around that mid-March in April time to ophthalmology care, but that has now improved now, and we're really catching things again and being able to give our patients the best possible outcome.
That's interesting what you said about asymptomatic or barely showing symptoms. How exactly does the disease present in these people, and does it eventually get to the point where they are showing symptoms?
So most patients will have some sort of symptom. Most commonly, they talk about a dark spot in the center, or what we call scotoma. Sometimes they'll just have blurry vision, or more importantly, things get are distorted or wavy. So classically, I've had patients describe them just looking at their blinds, you know, in their window, and they're usually nice and straight. And then they notice, oh, that their right eye, it's kind of disordered or crooked. That's new. So sometimes patients just kind of find the symptoms whenever they, you know, are made aware of it. Now, I do very urge my patients and strongly encourage my patients to monitor themselves at home. And we have two ways of doing that. One is with a machine called the 4C Home device, which is basically a combination of artificial intelligence and telemedicine, where there's a machine that actually will monitor patients and they can detect the signs of wet AMD much earlier than our traditional ways of monitoring, which was a sort of a grid line paper called the AMSA grid. And patients check each eye individually, and they notice if the lines become wavy or distorted, and that may be a sign that there's a conversion to the wet form of AMD. So with our artificial intelligence and our technology, we're able to find these things a lot sooner in patients with home monitoring. So certainly, I think that's a really important component, is having patients monitoring themselves at home to help find the disease very, very early on.
Okay. And now, what do we know about wet AMD and the relationship with other comorbidities such as diabetes or cardiovascular disease?
Well, so we do believe that these may be risk factors, certainly cardiovascular disease high cholesterol, blood pressure, high blood pressure, and so forth, that may be potential risk factors. We haven't found a definitive link yet, but certainly we're finding some associations there possibly. And, you know, I always encourage my patients to improve their lifestyle, whether it's, you know, eating a healthy diet, rich in green leafy vegetables, to a good exercise, a moderate exercise for their lives, as well as, to stop smoking, most importantly. And that's one of the things that can really control is to stop cigarette smoking, because we know that smoking is a huge risk factor for wet AMD. It changes the game completely. So I really encourage all my patients to stop smoking if all at possible, because that will really help to prevent the disease from getting worse.
Okay. And if we do discover a definitive link between, say, wet AMD and diabetes, would that enable us to begin screening earlier and potentially treating earlier?
Yeah, I mean, certainly if we can find a definitive link there, I think that's nice to kind of look at the patient as a whole. And, you know, if they're, you know, being screened for diabetic retinopathy, we should also be on the lookout for AMD in patients if there's an association there, and especially in patients that are age 60 and over, for sure. But certainly, I think that is a consideration in the future. And even with genetic testing and so forth, we may be able to pinpoint who's really at risk for these kind of conditions and find those links or associations very accurately and precisely to help to monitor patients systemically.
Okay. And is there a link? There's a link with age, but is there a link between sex or race and ultimately developing the disease?
Certainly we do have an association with, we find it more common in the Caucasian race, so light pigmentation certainly will allow more UV light sort of absorption, and that can potentially lead to increased risk of AMD, so certainly that's a risk factor as well. But the three big ones, I call them the big three, are age, genetics, and smoking history. So those are the three that I always ask my patients about. And talk about and make sure they're aware of.
A special thank you to Dr. Malley for joining me on the Doc Talk podcast, and thank you to the listeners as well. As always, please visit HCP Live for all the latest in medical news. I'm Kenny Walter. Thanks for listening to Doc Talk.